Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Soda of the podcast. Wow. So tonight we're actually going with a brand. I didn't realize it's been a while since we've had them on. It almost seems, if you kind of look at the schedule of drinks that we've been doing, we kind of took a drink from the healthier stuff and went with the more fun things. So, plus we got a couple of recommendations on this. So without further ado, tonight's soda is Poppy's watermelon flavor, and I have to say I wasn't expecting much. I was almost expecting not to like it. I enjoy watermelon. Growing up in watermelon flavor for myself has always been very, very hit or miss. And I don't dislike it as much as I thought I was going to. In an effort to kind of keep it together, I think the couple of flavors that I have had of Poppy's, this would be more of like my middle of the line flavor, but it's definitely not my least favorite flavor of theirs. So in case you didn't listen all the way back to the Poppy episodes, what is Poppy, you might add? Poppy is essentially soda that's good for you. So how they brand themselves, they're bringing soda back. The twist, it's better for you this time. So what they use are prebiotics, apple cider vinegar, 5 grams of sugar or less, 25 calories or less, and no fake stuff. Now, they have a clean ingredients, prebiotics, obviously those that do know, are, you know, fibers and things that are good for your gut health. So for those that maybe are getting into these or want to try these, Poppy's aren't meant to be thrown back. Some of the flavors, I will be the first to admit, are very flavorful that you kind of do want to throw back. But this isn't the type of soda that you're going to have 4 or 5 in a day. You're going to have like 1, max 2, as long as you're maybe doing 1 like for lunch, early day, and then like 1 at dinner or something like that. Truthfully, the first, I was kind of that same way. The first time I heard about them, I was over at my parents' house and they had a couple different flavors. I was like, oh my gosh, these are really good. And I think I threw back 2 or 3. And they were very good. Come to find out, like my parents said, and actually I have some cousins who are very big into Poppy, and Olipop is another popular brand too. And because they're prebiotic, good for you, you're not supposed to have very many. So since that day, I don't think I've ever had more than 1 in a day. But I recommend them if you're somebody who enjoys a soda, and you tell people, oh, it's your guilty pleasure, you know, you don't do it that often, try it out. I mean, the worst that can happen is you try it, you don't like it, and you're going back to the soda. But I'm willing to bet if I had to put money on it, you would probably try some of these, and you would find at least 2 or 3 flavors, that you could kind of get behind, to kick the soda to the side. They actually have, I was looking at their website earlier today, they actually have a brand new flavor we're going to try getting our hands on within the next month. But yeah, I mean, they have what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, they have, the list goes on. They have so many different flavors. I want to say, looking at them, we've already tried 1, 2, this is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I mean, we've tried at least seven of them already on the podcast, and they're very, very good. Like I said, you can go to their website. It's drinkpoppy, poppi.com. They got some cool poppy swag. You guys gotta check out. They have, excuse me, sweaters, beanies, tote bags, shirts, a bunch hats. You know, a bunch of really cool things. On top of that, you can actually read for yourself. Hey, is this a real deal? It is. They're good for you. You can read about their story, and then you can also find them on Instagram and Twitter as well. And before, we go, I'm gonna go 5'8". Like I said, it kind of, gosh, I can't place it. It's gonna come to me right after I get done doing this podcast and it for you guys. But it tastes a lot like that. There's a watermelon, popular watermelon flavor gum growing up that just was the craze, and that is exactly what this tastes like. The first initial sip, it kind of bites you, and it kind of, not great. As you kind of let it sit, you really get that juicy watermelon flavor. Like, I'm not kidding you. It feels like, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about when it's, you know, at your barbecue picnics in the summer, and you're looking at watermelon. You're looking for those juicy ones. Not the ones that look like they're going to be like water. You're looking for those juicy ones, and this is what this tastes like. So go check this one out. Like I said, a lot of the recent sodas and flavors we've been trying out is because the recommendation for you guys. So let me know what you guys think of it. Let me know what we should be trying next, and we will go from there. For the Tommy Town, we don't have really a ton of news for you guys. Tonight, as far as Tommy sports are concerned, but we do have some. For the men's hockey team, fifth-year forward Luke Manning became just the second Tommy this season to sign an ECHL contract. The Stillwater native became the newest member of the Utah Grizzlies, who are the ECHL affiliate of the Colorado Avalanche. For those that do not know, it kind of goes. Like if you think in terms of if you think in terms of baseball, there's like the majors, and then there's triple A, double A, a single A, and every team has a triple A, double A, and single A affiliate. So if you think about the Colorado Avalanche at the NHL level, they have a minor league club, and then right below that minor league club would be the ECHL for hockey. So yeah, Manny actually finished this last season with 7 goals and 6 assists for a total of 13 points for the Tommies in his 37 games. For a career, Manny is actually leaving the program second all time in the Division I era as a leading goal scorer with 23 and fourth leading point scorer with 41 and as an assistant captain. Manning totaled 143 career games at the Division I level between Air Force and St. Thomas, compiling 53 career points. So, needless to say, thank you, Mr. Luke Manning, and all you've done for the program, and good luck with your professional career. Like I said, other than that, we're patiently awaiting the D1 Hockey Championship as the CCHA Championship is set to be played tomorrow night, Friday, in Bemidji, Minnesota, as the CCHA number one's seed Bemidji State Beavers will be taking on the number three Michigan Tech Huskies, not only for the Mason Cup, but also an automatic bid into the Hockey Championship regionals. And for those that are interested, the 2024 Division I men's ice hockey selection show is slated for Sunday, March 24th at 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central Standard Time on ESPNU. So go check that out. I will be patiently awaiting. Obviously, we're not able to watch the Tommies this go round, but really hoping for the Gophers to get a good seed and to get back to the championship game again this year. For the women's hockey team, no new news on the team, but the 2024 Division One Women's Hockey Frozen Four is actually set tomorrow night, Friday, at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. The number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes will take on the number four Clarkson Golden Knights for a chance in the national championship game on Sunday, the 24th, at 3 p.m. The winner of the 3 p.m. game will face, excuse me, the winner of the number two Wisconsin Badgers and the number three Colgate Raiders. That game will be at 6:30, and both games tomorrow can be seen on ESPN Plus. So good luck to the final four teams. And yeah, I mean, it's looking like it's gonna be another rematch last year between Ohio State and Wisconsin. Hopefully that's not the case. No new news on either of the basketball teams, but both men's and women's March Madness tournaments are underway. The women's tournament first four games finished up today, and the round of 64 will start tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. as Michigan State and North Carolina will get things going in their 8-versus-9 matchup in Regional One. So good luck to all 64 teams that made it toward the tournament, and can't wait to see who will be hosting the trophy early in April. Meanwhile, coming at you guys here tonight, we are just about done through day one of the men's tournament. We still got the Washington State Drake game, Texas Tech and NC State game, and the Kansas and Samford game left on the day. So with that, as of right now, a quick update on the mini weekend bracket challenge. With the three games still in action, there's a total of 130 points anyone can have possible. So we got Tyler 2961O's picks one in sole possession of first with 120 points, only got one, I guessed one game wrong so far. And then A. Renner's picks two and Lil Frone's picks two are both tied in second with 110 points. And then after that, we have eight total people in a tie for third with 100 points. So needless to say, just like a lot of other years, log jam up in front. Meanwhile, through 13 games, I'm sitting at 90 and 80 points. So not great, but hey, I think as the legends always say, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish, right? But anyways, just yeah, you know, kind of recapping what's already happened. We've already had four upsets in the first 13 games, which seems, if you ask me, standard. For the record, I don't really consider a 9 seed beating an 8 seed an upset, even though it technically is. But in my eyes, that's about the most even matchup you're gonna ever see in a bracket setting. But what actually struck me the most this year, ESPN has this perfect bracket tracker feature, which I've been very intrigued by this year. So not only does it show you how many perfect brackets are still out there on ESPN, but it shows you the games that have that affected the fallen brackets the most. And I have to say, excuse me, I have to say, I'm not nearly as surprised to see that there's, like, I think 2,900 perfect brackets still left out there, as I am to see the number 8 seeded Mississippi State's loss. That by number 8 Mississippi State, not number 4, not number 3, number 8 Mississippi State, their loss would break a shade under. I have so many numbers up here. They broke just a shade under 9.3 million brackets busted because of that pick. Next up was number 6 BYU's loss to number 11 Duquesne. That broke about 9.2 million. And then rounding out the top three was number 5 South Carolina's loss, or sorry, number 6 South Carolina's loss to number 11 Oregon Ducks. They broke approximately 1,131,625 brackets. And just for a reference point for you guys, ESPN is reporting that they got 22,114,647 brackets filled out. So, with all that, I think, it this year seems to me like the number 11 seeds are kind of the new number 12 seeds. I don't know if you guys remember, but for the last, I don't know, 12, 15 years, I don't know about that long, maybe like 8 years, as long as I can remember, it's the most popular upset was the number 12 seed taking down the 5 seed. It seems like 11s taking down the 6 seeds are a little bit more popular this year, though. But if I'm being completely honest, I think the game that surprised me the most was number 14 Oakland's win over number 3 Kentucky. I was actually talking to a coworker earlier today that I pretty much told them, one thing you can usually always count on in the tournament, not like in picking your first round matchups, because he made an interesting point to me that he likes to pick sometimes those 15 seeds to win or the 16 seeds to win, because in his mind, and it makes so much sense, he's like, picking that is going to be, that's going to be the difference in the perfect bracket. It's not going to be picking a 12 seed to win the entire thing over a 2 seed. It's going to be something small like that at the beginning. So I thought that was a very interesting point. But it kind of goes into this point as to why this 14 Oakland win over Kentucky is so significant, is because I pretty much told him, I'm like, if there's one thing you can count on, 9.5 times out of 10, you can always pick, no picking the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds in each region is almost a lock. Like I said, I didn't say 10 out of 10, but 9 times out of 10, unless there's really a team that just got lucky with the seeding, usually your four number 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s are not, like I said, 9.5, 9 times out of 10 will win. Once you get, like we talked about a minute ago, to the 5 versus 12 games, 6 versus 11, 7 to 10, that's where most of the upsets I feel happen. But part of the reason I felt this way is because it's Kentucky. I mean, like, how the mighty have fallen, seriously. I think there's some talks that Calipari should be, let go. I know, these last couple of years, a stretch since COVID, hasn't been doing great from them, but I didn't realize this actually until the middle of their game, but the once perennial powerhouse of them, they now only have one tournament win since 2019. Now, I get in 2020 there was no tournament, but 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. So that's 5, 6 years. In those 6 years, there were 5 tournaments, and they made it to 4, and they have one win to show for that. I just, things like that usually make institutions think, what do we need to do here? So, yeah, it's definitely been madness so far, and obviously an exciting time of the year, like we've been talking about. We got the Frozen Four coming up. We got March Madness right in the thick of things. We got probably some of the best hockey being played. We got some of the best basketball being played leading up to the playoffs here, and we got MLB opening day coming up here soon. So lots of fun things coming up, and with that, why don't we jump into our pro teams?